Again, we're going to have a great, great month, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. But if we miss, we're going to miss a blessing. So I appreciate you being faithful. Invite some friends and family, visitors, and encourage them to be here. And I know the Lord's going to do something great. And so we're privileged tonight. We're going to have a special, and then Brother Terrell's going to come. He's my uncle, Uncle Hud. I appreciate him. He's my, you know, when I need somebody to talk to and run stuff by, he's always there. He's always calls and encourages, and I appreciate him. And so he preached for us, I think, last year, and I'm excited about him kicking off. So somebody said one time when it kicked off our summer explosion, when you bat lead off, you don't have to hit a home run, you just get on base. And that really, I thought about that. That's great. So no pressure tonight, all right? You just got to get on base tonight, all right? So that'd be great. So, but we're looking forward to it. Amen. So you get your Bibles out, and Uncle Hud, you come after we sing here.
Today I face the mountain, so high, and I do not know what's waiting on the other side, but I know enough to know He'll see me through again. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands.
There will be grace, grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile.
There will be
hope when I've done all I can. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands. Those hands that seen me through my darkest days, they have dried my tears and helped to guide me on my way. So I know He'll see me through this fire again. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hand.
There will be grace,
grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile.
There will be
hope when I've done all I can. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hand.
Those hands that hold the universe will hold me now, and the hand that calms the stormy seas will calm my soul somehow. There will be
grace, grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength, strength to walk another mile.
There will be
hope when I've done all I can. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hand.
I'm glad to
know it's in the Savior's hand.
Well, that's good to know, isn't it? Amen. It is in His hand. And it's a big hand. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Bless y'all's heart. I feel honored. I mean that, just to come and to try to preach a little bit. Y'all, it's always a blessing to come to Cazadale and see what God's doing. And just to, He's a good God. Amen. Y'all ever do that? God is good. And you say all the time. You know how to do that? God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Oh, Larry Brown says he can't help it. He's natured that way. Amen. And He's a good God. But thank you for being here. God bless you. Take your Bible, and I want you to look, if you would, at Isaiah chapter number 48. It's good to have my wife Diana here. And these two young men down here, Ricky Allen and Aaron Wright, they're college students and working with us this summer at church. It's good to have them here. And good to all of y'all. God bless you. And appreciate you coming. Mean that. Let's just read. Isaiah 48, verse number 9. The Bible says, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." Tonight, what I want to try to preach on is especially that phrase there in verse number 13. It's really something if you look at it and think about it for a minute. God said, "My right hand hath spanned the heavens." Isn't that a fascinating thought? God said, "My right hand hath spanned the heavens." I believe there's a message there. I really do. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you, the Lord, Lord, bless now the furtherance of this service. Lord, it's good just to pull in the parking lot and Lord, to come into your house again. Lord, let us never take that for granted. God, to shake hands with your children. And Lord, know we've come together not to lift up any man, but our Savior. And Lord, I thank you for each one here. Lord, I know some of these folks have probably had a long and hard day, and some of them got up a long time ago, and they're tired and all of that. But Lord, they're in your house because they want to be. Lord, I pray you, Lord, bless them for that. Lord, as we've been blessed by, Lord, the singing and being here, God, I pray now that we would, Lord, be fed from your word. And Lord, I help me to say what I should and nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray we would all leave here, Lord, with what you have for us. And Lord, when the invitation comes, whatever should be done, Lord, I pray it will be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray and for His glory. Amen. This passage in Isaiah, God's talking to the house of Israel, the Jewish folks. They no doubt about that. Look at verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and so forth. So obviously, I mean, God's, when I started preaching, I promised God I'd never on purpose take a verse out of context. Amen. So God's talking here to the, somebody said a text out of context is a pretext, and we don't want to do that. Amen. But we do have here a message from God to, and He's speaking especially, particularly, to the nation of Israel. But now we rejoice tonight that we too belong to Him. Amen? Saved by His grace. And we are His children. And we rejoice in that. We don't claim to be Israel. God's got a great purpose for Israel. But I'm glad to be grafted in. Amen? I'm glad just to be a part and to know that I'm His. And He is mine. And what a joy that is. It's just God saved me, He said in verse number 11. Look at that. "For mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it." You and I are saved not for our glory, but for His. Right. It's not really for our sake, but it's for His sake. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. That we belong to Him. I know there's a lot of folks nowadays discouraged. I know that. I go out and preach. And everywhere I go, you know, it's not unusual to see attendance down a little bit and people struggling with the budget and all those kinds of things. And I know that. But folks, we're still on the winning side. God's still in heaven. We're still saved and the Bible's still true and we're still on the winning side and God's sweeter every day. And folks, ain't no need to be all down in the mouth now. Amen. That's what happened to Jonah. He got all down in the mouth. That's a mistake. Amen. I mean, bless God. We're still on the winning side. Amen. Saved by His grace. I was reading several weeks ago in Revelation, and it talked about those who have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And that they have their part. And Brother Travis, it struck me, I used to have a part. There was a part of hell that was for Terrell Hudson. I had a part in hell. My name on it, some way or another. If you took all of hell and God would have known, that part right there is for Terrell Hudson. He deserves it. If he got what he had coming, this would be his. I had my part. I'm glad when I was 7 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and the Holy Ghost canceled that reservation. Amen. And a part of hell used to be for me, and I'm glad I don't have anything like that there anymore. Amen. And nothing there for me. And if you're saved by the grace of God, isn't it good to know that you don't have a part in hell anymore? Amen. It's gone. We thank God for that. Folks, we're on the winning side. Bible says, God said here, said, I am He. I like that. I am He. You're not He, and I'm not He. He is He. The Baptist Church, I'm a Baptist, born Baptist, bred, and when I'm gone, I'm Baptist dead. Amen. But you listen to me. There's a difference in the Baptist Church and He. Amen. The difference in the singer and He, and the preacher and He, and God said, I am He. Nobody else like Him. He's the first and He's the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. All of those things. He's the answer to every question. He's the supply to every need. He's the solution to every problem. I didn't write this. I just found it one day and liked it and I copied it, alright? But somebody said, and I love this, to the artist He's altogether lovely, and to the architect He is the chief cornerstone. To the athlete, He's the goal of the race. To the baker, He's the bread of life. And to the banker, He's the hidden treasure. To the biologist, He is the life. And to the builder, He is the sure foundation. To the doctor, He's the great physician. To the educator, He's the great teacher. To the farmer, He's the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, He's the rose of Sharon. To the geologist, He's the rock of ages. To the jurist, He's a righteous judge. To the jeweler, He's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, He's the advocate. And to the publisher, He's good tidings, a great joy. To the philosopher, He's the wisdom of God. To the preacher, He is the word of God. To the sculptor, He is the living stone. To the statesman, He's the desire of all nations. To the theologian, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the sinner, He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. To all of us who are saved, He's Savior, Redeemer, Lord. He is God in the flesh. He is He. Amen? God said, I am He, and there is no other. There's nobody else like Him. To the blind, He's sight. And to the hungry, He's bread. And to the thirsty, He's water. And to the dying, He is life. Exodus said at 15:11, who is like unto Thee, O Lord? There ain't nobody else like Him. Psalm 35, all my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto Thee? Psalm 71, O God, who is like unto Thee? Psalm 113:5, who is like unto Thee, our God, who dwelleth on high? There is none like Him. He said, I am He. There is nobody else. Now, this evening, what I want to try to preach a minute or two here. Don't take that too seriously. But what I want to preach a little while. A thought. Just a thought. How big is He? I am He. There's nobody else like Him. And I got a question. How big is He? I think it's a pretty good question. Now, God is omnipresent. Let's talk here. Can we talk? God is omnipresent. What does that mean? That means that He is everywhere. He is everywhere. He says, God right here. Jesus said, we're two or three, gather together My name. There am I in the midst. The Bible says about Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are accepted in the Beloved. We tell little children to invite Christ into the heart. And sometimes I think we don't even listen to ourselves. What a marvelous thing that is, that Christ dwells in our hearts, that He lives within us. And so God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. Let me teach Sunday school here just for a minute. That doesn't mean that there's a little bit of God everywhere. That means that all of God is everywhere. You don't have to take everywhere and put it all together and then you add it up and you get God. No, all of God is everywhere. You say, how can all of God be here and all of God be in Columbus? I don't know. I just know that it's true. I just know that all of God is here and all of God is in the Congo and all of God is on the moon. I mean, all of God is everywhere. We understand that. And like I said, we understand that God dwells, a little child comes and trusts Christ as Savior. I'm quite confident that it's happened right here many, 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 many times. What happens? The God of the universe comes and in His totality indwells that little child and lives within them. Is all of God in that child? Yes. I believe that. Because Christ comes, dwells in their hearts. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. All of those things. And again, I can't explain all that, neither can you. But I just know that God is everywhere. I know that all of God comes and indwells a little child. God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, is it 3:16, the great is the mystery of God is that God was manifest in the flesh. And it says, seen of angels. Did you ever study that? Seen of angels. I thought, well, why? Well, of course. But then, if God is the Spirit, and the incarnation is when God came and inhabited and invaded humanity, and God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to argue, we'll argue about something else, but and you can disagree with me or whatever. I believe that's the first time the angels had seen Him. Because He had been a spirit, and now He's become a man, and the Bible says, great is the mystery of God, and this that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. I can imagine them in angels. I saw Him. It's about that long. You know, and there He was. He was laying right in the manger, very excited. Because the God who is the Spirit that they have never seen, at least not like that, they saw in Bethlehem, and God was laying in that manger. I believe that. How big is God? Well, again, I don't have all the answers, but I know He indwells a child's heart. But then, the Bible says, and this is fascinating to me, God said, My right hand has spanned the heavens. That means God's right hand, from here to here, spans the heavens. That God that dwells in a child's heart, but yet God reminds us that that great God that can inhabit a child's heart lays His right hand down, and all of the heavens go from right here to right there on God's right hand. Well, it brings up a question. If His right hand spans the heavens, how big is the heavens? We live in a solar system, they tell me. 9 planets, right? Now they say there's 8 planets. Now they say that Pluto's not a planet. That was my favorite one. I don't know. Now they've kicked it out or something. I don't know. You know, but I ain't a planet no more. I don't know what happened. But it's Mary's violet eyes make John stay up nights, period. Right? That's how you remember it. You know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, John stay, Saturn up, Uranus up nights, Neptune, period, Pluto. Well, how big is that? Well, Uranus is 1.7 billion miles away. Not million. Billion. Neptune is 2.8 billion miles from the sun. Pluto, that's the bull I like they kicked out, 3.7 billion miles from the sun to Pluto. If you lived on Pluto, it takes 247 of our years to make 1 year on Pluto. If you lived on Pluto, you'd have never had your first birthday yet. It hadn't got around the sun whole time yet. And God said, My right hand hath spanned the heavens. But see, the whole truth is that our little solar system is just a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck of a speck. I mean, it's just nothing. It's just nothing compared to the heavens. The Milky Way, we're made it with they tell us that astronomers say that the galaxy is speeding towards something at 500,000 miles per hour, and they don't even know what. They call it the Great Attractor. I know. The Milky Way. The billions and billions of stars, all of them with the planets spinning around them. And it's like, what did I say? It's about 4 billion miles to Pluto, close to it. And the sun, but yet the Milky Way has billions and billions of suns with humpteen billions and billions of planets going around them. And you take all of those billions and billions and billions of suns with their many, many more than that billions of planets, and what you end up with is a Milky Way, and that's our like galaxy. And they tell us that if you was going at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years. 100,000 years going 186,000 miles per second. That's flat getting it, amen? 186,000 miles per second for 100,000 years just to go from one side of the Milky Way to the other side. And the Milky Way is just one galaxy of billions and billions and billions and billions of other galaxies that are billions and billions and billions of light years away. And God said, my right hand hath spanned the heavens. I would submit to you, He's a big God. The Hubble telescope. You heard about the Hubble telescope? They was looking at the Virgo. You remember the Virgo cluster? You ever go to the Creation Museum or up to date in the Museum of Natural History and lay down, look at them little specks on the ceiling? You ever do that? You know? You remember the Virgo cluster? Y'all don't get out much, do you? You know, there's a Virgo cluster. Anyway, it looked like just a star. They took the Hubble telescope out in California and they looked at it and they said that it's 50 million light years from Earth. It would have to go on 186,000 miles per second to get to that little speck of light in the Virgo cluster. It would take you 50, it's 50 million light years. You would have to travel for 50 million years going 186,000 miles per second to get to one of the specks that you'll see out in the heavens tonight if you go out there and look at it. But they put the Hubble telescope on that little speck and they left it focused a long time and found out that that little speck is really 3,000 galaxies like the Milky Way. My right hand hath spanned the heavens. He's a big God. And that's all just our neighborhood. There's things called quasars. 2,000 of them have been found. That's not just a TV. That's a spot of light way out there. Quasars are 10 or 11 billion light years from Earth. 186,000 miles per second to get to the edge of what we know of right now. It would take 11 billion years going 186,000 miles per second to get to at least 2,000 quasars that have already been identified. And God said, my right hand hath... I want to tell you something, folks. We're on the little side of something great big. He's a great big God. He's a great, great big God. Now, here's a thought. Some of y'all are going to say, Travis John likes his uncle, but he's a nut. You know, well, whatever you want to say is fine. But let me... It's okay to read an old King James Bible and just haul off and believe it, right? That's okay. Now, if you got 12 billion light years, then at least, and that's just looking one way. If you turn around and look the other way, there's another 12 billion light years. So now we're up to what we know about is 24 billion years going 186,000 miles per second is what we know of so far that God said, I lay my right hand up and I span the heavens. Now if I could be a little silly, my right hand has spanned the heavens. A man's hand is 1/10 to 1/12 of his height. Stay with me. Now, if a man's hand is 1/10 to 1/12 of his height, And we know that the heavens are 72 sextillion miles across. That means that if you multiply out what we know of for the universe, that God says that His right hand has spanned, and you try to figure out then, multiply that by, let's say, 11, because a man's hand is 10 to 12 times his height, then you could get the picture that God tried to give us about how many feet tall God is. Isn't that an interesting thought? If you do that and figure it out right, that means that going from the speed of light to go from the top of God's head to the bottom of God's feet, it would take you 144 billion years. I want you all to wake up. Isn't that exciting to you? I took all that and averaged it out, and I counted zeros, and I just got to thinking, if the hand is 72 septillion miles across, and you multiply it by 11 to get the height, then you can multiply it out in feet, then you can get the height in feet that God was giving us a picture of when He said that His right hand spans the heavens. Do you want to know what kind of answer you'll get if you take the known universe and multiply it out to feet and say that if God's right hand spans the heavens, then for that to happen, this is how many feet tall a person would have to have a hand that big? Come here, Ricky and Aaron, I want to show you something. I figured it out. Take that. Start going that way. Take off. I'm going to need some more help here. Just keep going. I need some help. Come here and help me, Travis. Alex, run out there and hold that. We're going to have to go around the corner. Right in the middle, Alex. Hold that up. Come here, Aaron. Take off down that way with it. There you go. Get that, boys. Stand right there, Aaron. Let them fellas help you. Hurry up, guys. I'm preaching now. You're dawdling. Now let me say something. I got a point to make. I might be off a little bit, all right? I might be off a little. I'll grant you. But I want to make a point. He's bigger than your grocery bill. He's bigger than your doctor's report. He's bigger than your burden. He's bigger than your fear. He's bigger than what caused the last tear to come out of your eye. He's bigger than what caused you to lose sleep last night. He's bigger than what's making you be all worried. He's bigger than any problem that we'll ever face in this life. I'm here to tell you, He is a great, great, great big God. And we need to learn how just to hold off and trust Him. He's a big God. I'm glad He's on my side. Amen? He is a big God. What is it that's got you all worried? What's got you upset? What's got you afraid? You were thinking we're going to starve to death. We got a big God on our side. We're thinking our life's going to come unraveled. We got a big God on our side. We don't know how it's all going to turn out. I got a great big God that knows how it's going to turn out. He's a great big God. Amen? Y'all have a seat. Thank you. I don't want to preach a minute. We're going to go home, okay? Just lay it down, but be gentle. All right. Now, let me make a point. We need to be reminded how big God is. Amen? Who is like unto Thee, O God, the Bible said. He's a big God. And we need to thank God for that. Who is like unto Thee, our Lord, who dwelleth on high? Now listen to this. Psalm 113. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the earth. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. What does that mean? Humbleth Himself to bow down. What does that mean? You got a world that's 24 sextillion, billion, whatever I said, light years wide, and God is so big, to look into the universe, He bends over and looks in. You ever have an oven with a little window in it, and you want to see how something's doing, you bend over and look in. And the universe that's billions and billions and billions and billions of light years. Our God is so big, He bends over and peeks in. Isn't it incredible that He would want to come and dwell in me and in you and care about us and love us? So that God says, look unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God says, I'll supply your every need. It's good to have a big God on your side. You think about that. Amen. He's a big God. Thank God for it. Now back to that right hand. Let me talk about that. That right hand. 12 billion light years. Huge. 70, if I figured it right, 76 sextillion miles across. That's a long way. His right hand, by the known universe, if it spans the heavens, 76 sextillion miles across. What does God say about that hand? Number one, it's a saving hand. O thou that savest, Psalm 17:7. Listen to this. O thou that savest by thy right hand. You want to know if God's big enough to save you? He's got a hand that spans the heavens, and it's 72 sextillion miles across. I think He can handle it. How's God saved? If you're here tonight and lost, you need to understand that you're a sinner and you've come short of the glory of God, and a God that big still loves you. Jesus died on Calvary to pay your sin debt, was buried and rose again, and He is alive today, and will that God in all of His majesty and grandeur will come and dwell in your heart. You say, He won't fit. Yeah, He will. He's God. He knows how. He'll come and dwell in your heart, save you tonight if you'll just trust Him as your Savior. He's a great God. That right hand's a saving place. I'll tell you something else about that right hand. It's a securing place. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And no man is able to pluck them out of... Well, I guess not. You know, it's 76 sextillion miles wide. I guess not. I mean, how in the world could you get plucked out of a hand like that? Amen? It's a great big hand. You know, the whole truth is something I've heard people say, well, you know, you can take yourself out of His hand. You got a long way to go, darling. You better start walking. And when you get to the end, you tell us about it. Amen? I mean, it's 72 sextillion miles across. That's a pretty secure... You're so saved, it's pitiful. I mean, it is pitiful. You are not going to go to hell now. You couldn't be unsaved if your life depended on it. Why? Because you're inside of a great, big hand. It's a securing hand. It's a strong hand. It's a saving hand. It's a good hand to be in. I was reading Matthew one time. You know, you on the right side, you on the left side. And I said, if I missed something, and I went back and looked, and it didn't say them on the right-hand side or them on the left-hand side. You said those on my right hand. Well, there's plenty of room. It's a big hand. Folks, we act like we got a little God. We act like we got a God that can't handle it. We act like, oh no, you reckon God's going to mess up? And we sure go, oh, we got a great, He's never failed us yet. He's brought us safe thus far. He's a great big God, and He said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. He will not fail you. He's a big God. It's a satisfying hand. Psalm 16:11. Listen to this. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 77:10. Listen to that. And I said, this is my infirmity. David had a problem. David had a valley. David had a heartache. He said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. David said, and that's kind of rough right now, but I will remember the years of the right hand of God. What does that mean? That means that life has mountains and life has valleys and life has hard times. But every one of you all that's been saved very long, you will agree with me. It's been a good life. It's been a good life. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I mean, I've come way too far to turn back, and I'm too ugly to be cute and too old to be young. I'm just going to go on and keep doing what I've been doing. Amen? And you listen to me. I mean, there's hard spots. Of course there is. If there weren't, we couldn't know the reality of victory. But I want to tell you something. You know, you look at your life as a whole. God has been good. Sometimes I get to count my blessings and I think, my soul, all of this in heaven too. I mean, you know, I mean, how are you going to beat that? How are you going to beat that deal? He's a good God at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. Why, sure, it's a big hand. Forevermore. It's a satisfying hand. It's a strong hand. Psalm 89:13, strong is thy hand. Bible says Psalm 118:16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand that the Lord doth valiantly. Well, I tell you what. Great big hand like that. It can do valiantly. It's a big hand. I'll tell you something else about the right hand of God. It can be a scary place. It can be a scary place. Exodus 15:6, thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Psalm 45:4, the right hand, thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. You don't want to go to school in God's right hand.
No, sir.
Amen? Right, that, you had a daddy like I had. That hand could be so tender, and but yet if He knew how to turn it from soft to steel whenever He wanted to. God give us some more daddies like that. Amen? God still knows how to take that right hand. I think the most awful sound in the world is that belt hitting those belt loops when it comes off. It goes... Brrr. You ever heard that sound? Brrr. Boy, that'll make you repent for stuff you ain't even done. I'm telling you, you know that. But the right hand... Billy Sunday said, don't box with God. He's got the reach on you. Well, I guess if it's 72 sectillion miles wide, He's a big God. Whatever your problem, He's big enough. Big enough for you, and I'm not going to preach all night, but look at verse 19, thy seed also. I like that. Big enough for me, and big enough for kids. Dinah and I are going to be grandma and grandpa. September 25th, more or less. I'm all excited about it. It's coming, highly recommended. How many of y'all grandparents? Good idea, right? We're going to give it a whirl. Isn't it good to have a faith that you can tell your children, walk in this, it's good, and pray that God would help you have your kids, that would give you grandkids that would know what it is to serve God and love Him. I tell you, if God's given you generations, you've been blessed by a great big hand. You need to give Him thanks and glory for that. Amen? He's a big God. Little boy was trying to move a big rock. Big old thing. His daddy said, now son, I need that rock moved. Little old fellow was pushing and grunting and huffing and puffing, and, you know, get behind it and push real hard, and his feet would, you know how a little kid will do, and his feet would slip and rocks would fly backwards, you know, and he'd get up and push again, you know. He'd pull. His daddy said, now, son, daddy said to get that rock moved. Son, daddy wants that rock moved. Little old guy's doing the best he could. And he says, daddy, I can't. I can't. Too big. His daddy said, you're not using all the strength you've got. He goes, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Push and grunt and pull. Son, you're not using all the strength you've got. Daddy, I am. No, you're not. What do you mean? He said, you haven't asked me to help you. Son, anytime you've ever needed anything, hasn't Daddy helped you? Hasn't Daddy been there for you? Hasn't Daddy been, you know, have you ever had a problem that Dad didn't help you with? Have you ever had, you know, something that needed done that your Daddy wouldn't help you with, and you haven't asked me to help you? What do? We take our little resources, get enough resources. We take our little old brains. Oh, don't act so smart. You're just like me. You get confused too. We take our little hands. We take our little ingenuity. And we go out and bust ourselves on our problems and our heartaches and our fears and all we got. God stands there with a great big hand. We just say, Lord, I need you to help me. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. How great and mighty? 72 sextillion mile wide hand do pretty great and mighty things, if you ask me. Let Him do. Sometimes you feel like your problems are so huge. I know that. Sometimes you look at the number at the bottom of the checkbook. Whoa! Yeah. Sometimes you read the doctor's report. Sometimes, and you just say, it's bigger than me. Probably is. It's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. He's a great big God. He's a great big God. He's big enough to save you. He's big enough to keep you. He's big enough to use you. He's big enough to take you through the valley you're in. He's big enough to take you through the heartache you're bearing. He's big enough to be your burden bearer. Well, if you have a burden on your shoulders tonight, He's a great big God. And that great big God loves you. And that great big God said, call unto me and I will answer thee. I think maybe a good way to start these services is whatever that problem is remember, there's a great big God there that'll help you. Let's trust Him. Amen. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I don't know how you normally do invitations. But and if you would indulge me here just a minute, I'm assuming on a Thursday night meeting like this, probably most people saved. I don't know y'all like your pastor does. But if you're here tonight and you're not, well, what a wonderful time to get this thing settled.